Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us this morning comes from the Old Testament lesson in 1 Kings 19. Starting again at verse 11. And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' He said, 'I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away.' And the Lord said to him, 'Go. Return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death, and the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." This is God's word. Have you ever been involved in a project that took months, maybe even years to complete, finished it, celebrated, and then wondered, "What do I do now?" All this time, you've been working towards a goal. You've anticipated it. You've dreamed of finishing it. And suddenly, it's done. You've accomplished something. You've had this victory, but then suddenly you find yourself at a loss. What do I do now? What's next? What do I have to look forward to? Life just seems to move on. Today may even bring new problems that yesterday's victory won't change. We may go from feeling great to feeling sad. Why is it yesterday I felt God was with me? Today I feel alone and adrift. It may surprise you that the prophet Elijah had these same kind of thoughts. Part of what makes the Bible ring so true is how human God's servants are. The people who did such great things for God were not spiritual superheroes. On the contrary, they complained, they fought against themselves, they try to handle things all by themselves, they very easily become depressed and discouraged. In other words, they're just like us. In today's Old Testament lesson, we meet Elijah hiding out in a cave. And how he got there is very important for us to hear. You see, Elijah had just experienced an exhilarating victory. Yahweh, God of Israel, had just proven his absolute power over the false god Baal, a contest that wasn't even close. You may remember how fire came down from heaven and consumed Elijah's waterlogged altar. Elijah had been given dramatic proof of God's reality with all the pyrotechnics that a person could wish for. From a prophetic standpoint, Elijah was on a tremendous roll. And the very next day, the corrupt queen of Israel promises to put Elijah to death. And Elijah's knees get weak. In light of what Elijah had just experienced, you might expect him to say, "Bring it on. God is on my side." But instead, the prospect of being labeled an enemy of the state leads him to say, "I've had enough, Lord. Take my life." Now think about this. Elijah had the advantage of actually seeing fire come down from heaven in the Lord's name. He had the advantage of being on the winning side in a spiritual battle, warfare. And his fear still got the better of him. Yesterday's victory seemed like a distant memory. Now, on one hand, you might wonder how one of God's prophets could be so fickle. On the other hand, you and I both know how, because we're no different. Some days, the biblical story, the knowledge of what Jesus did for us, gives us so much comfort and help. And the next day, we just don't feel it. Living in a sinful world, having sin in us, can drag us down. What's worse is that we feel guilty for not feeling better about things or being able to find the peace we know that we should have through Jesus. Yes, we've had some victories with God in the past, but today is a new day with its own problems. Like Elijah, our memories are short. So we run. We hide. We forget how God handled things for us in the past, so we feel like giving up. Like Elijah, we want the God who sends fire down to burn up our problems, who hands us the victory each and every time. Elijah ran and hid himself because he felt like his problem, this problem, today's problem, was too big for God. This is finally the one. And I know I have crouched in that cave with Elijah more times than I would care to admit. Now, the thing with Elijah is that while he ran from his problems, he didn't really run from God. He kept talking to him the whole time. And that leads to an incredible conversation. And it's striking. Elijah doesn't pull any punches. He lets the Lord know right where he stands and how he feels. He essentially tells God, "Lord, I've been faithful to you all this time, and look where it's gotten me. Yesterday I had this great victory, but today I'm all alone. Where are you for me when I need you?" Now that might seem a little assertive for your liking as far as a prayer goes, but I tend to think that God understands, and in a way that kind of prayer honors him. Why? Because it shows that the person praying still believes that God has the ability and power to help. Elijah was upset. Elijah was running scared. But he still managed to take his problem to God. And you and I can do exactly the same thing in our prayers. We can pour out our hearts to God. You can be as direct with Him as you want because He's big enough to handle it. In fact, He may be looking to see if there's some fight left with your faith. He'll do that from time to time. But in any case, He hears and answers. And really notice how He answers Elijah. First, a great wind comes. Then an earthquake. Then a fire. Considering what Elijah had just been through, he probably thought he was in deep trouble. Fire, earthquakes, strong winds, these were signs of God's wrath, God's judgment. Elijah, knowing his own cowardice, was probably bracing himself for punishment. But Scripture says God was not in those things. Instead, He communicates with Elijah using words whispered into the prophet's ear. And there are two things about those whispered words that I find fascinating. The first is that God still loves His servant. He still loves Elijah and desires his services. He does not use His power over the elements to crush Elijah, but instead He comes to the sad prophet quietly, gently, whispering words of instruction and encouragement. And God kindly reveals, He doesn't have to do this, but He kindly reveals that there are 7,000 people in Israel who have remained faithful to God. He's not the only one. Elijah is not as alone as he thinks. The Lord whispers words of restoration to Elijah and urges him, get back in the game. The second thing worth noting is the contrast between that display of wind, earthquake, and fire and the whispered word. At one time or another, all of us have probably wished that God would do dramatic things in our lives, that He would get our attention with an unmistakable display of divine power. We've craved seeing the type of things that Elijah saw. Yet when it comes to restoring His servant, God does not do it with a roar or a rumble or a flash. He does it in a way that is utterly ordinary. He does it by speaking words. Boy, would we love it if God would speak to us from a glowing cloud or a shaft of light and tell us exactly what we're supposed to do this day or the next. But the truth is, God does speak to His people. He speaks to us from the pages of His Word. He speaks to us when we hear and repeat His words in worship. God speaks when His people gather to study His Word. He speaks in your private devotional life. The question is, are we listening? Are we willing to believe that God comes to us in such an ordinary way? Communicating with us, telling us what we need to hear. That is what sent Elijah on his way again. That's what got him out of the cave and down the mountain and back into a life of service. Not the blinding, frightening fear of God's wrath, but words. Words whispered by a God who loves us enough to lower his voice and speak to us in a way we can understand. Our lives as Christians are going to have highs and lows. We're going to face challenges that will cause us to question just about everything that we hold to be true. And when those times come, we must not ignore the simple, ordinary words God speaks to us. For those words put us back in touch with the one thing that matters most. A man in Dundee, Scotland, was confined to a bed for 40 years, having broken his neck in a fall when he was 15. But his spirit was unbroken. And his cheer and his courage inspired so many people that he enjoyed an almost constant stream of guests. And one day, a visitor asked him, "Doesn't Satan ever tempt you to doubt God?" "Oh, yes," replied the man. "He does try to tempt me. I lie here, see my old schoolmates driving along. Satan whispers, 'If God is so good, why does he keep you here all these years? Why did he permit your neck to be broken?'" "What do you do when the devil whispers those things?" asked the guest. "Ah," the man replied, "I take him to Calvary, show him Christ, and point to those deep wounds and say, 'Ah, you see? You see, he does love me.'" And Satan has no answer to that. He runs away every time. You and I will have our down days as Christians. That's the price of living in a world ruined by sin. We're constantly battling our old ways, and that can bring us down too. But take comfort in the fact that, like Elijah, you have direct access to God, who not only welcomes your prayers, but answers them in the way that's best for you, and you have a God who speaks, who even now is whispering words of forgiveness and hope, calming words that give you Jesus, his Son, words that point you to his cross, words that bring you out of hiding into the light. Let us pray. Eternal Spirit of the living Christ, I know not how to ask or what to say. I only know my need as deep as life, and only you can teach me how to pray. Come, pray in me the prayer I need this day. Help me to see your purpose and your will. Where I have failed, what I have done amiss, held in forgiving love, let me be still. Come with the strength I lack. Bring vision clear of human need. Oh, give me eyes to see fulfillment of my life in love outpoured My life in you, O Christ, your love in me. Amen.